We are in a series, the first series, and this is the second to last message. Next week will be the last message in the first series. So we've been talking about some things that the Lord has laid upon our heart to be first in our lives. You know, always they should be first, but especially this year. And a couple weeks ago, I talked to you about humility. And then last week, I talked about servanthood. And this week, I want to talk about unity. Unity. And I'm going to read a scripture to you. I want you to turn to John chapter 17, verse 9. John 17, 9. I want you to find that right away and get to that scripture. And again, like I've been doing the last several weeks, I'm going to ask you to highlight some things, underline some things. I might actually ask you to say some things out loud today. Why do I do that? Well, because when we say something, you learn twice as fast, even I guess the statistics are even more than that, if you say it out loud rather than just reading something. So it takes the average person 14 times to read something to actually to know it, to actually know it, for not just to comprehend it but to know it. So you know, if you're like me, you're maybe a below average on that, and it takes you a little bit longer. So if you say it out loud, you actually learn it faster. So John chapter 17 verse 9. So before I read that scripture, I thought, since we're talking about unity, I'd tell you a funny little story about unity, okay? So there was this this family from New York that bought a ranch out west, and they went out there intending to raise cattle on this ranch. And when their friends came and visited from New York, they inquired about the ranch's name. And the would-be rancher said, "Well, I wanted to name it the Bar J." And my wife favored Susie Q. Then one of our sons wanted to call it the Flying W, and the other son liked the Lazy Y. So we're calling it the Bar J Susie Q Flying W Lazy Y Ranch. And the friend said, "But where are all your cattle?" And the rancher said, "None survived the branding." Since you laughed so hard at that one, I got another one for you. See, Kim said, "Don't encourage him. He'll just keep going." Keep it down back there in the sound booth. I don't mean the volume of a microphone either. Okay, this is the last one. There was this Christian who had been stranded on a desert island by himself for many, many years. And he was rescued one day by a group of rescuers, and the rescuers saw that he had built three buildings, and so they asked, "What are those buildings?" And the Christian that had been stranded said, "Well, that one over there is my house, and that one right there is the church that I go to, and that one over there is the church I used to go to." Some of you didn't even get that one, did you? He was by himself for many, many years. Unity. All right, John chapter 17, verse 9. This is Jesus praying. He's speaking here, and he's praying. And so let me set the table for this. He had just spent quite a bit of time with his disciples before this prayer. This just happens to be the last prayer recorded that Jesus prayed before he was betrayed by Judas and before he was arrested. So I would say that if it were, as far as I'm concerned, when I read the Word of God, I like to take into context what's happening when something is said, not just what's said. You know what I'm talking about? Like, what's going on? So I would say that if this is the last thing that he's praying before he's arrested, it's pretty important, wouldn't you? Amen. And you need to understand that he's praying this out loud in front of his disciples. He had just done several things with them, and they had just eaten the Last Supper together. And so then he's saying this out loud. He's praying this out loud. So be like, we're gathered here, and all of us are looking at each other, and then I start praying out loud. This is what he said. He said, "My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you." So everybody here say, "That's me." "All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world, and they are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name, Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. Everybody say that with me. So they will be united just as we are. This is what he's praying for. Okay? Verse 12, during my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. Let me say that again. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Underline that, circle it and highlight it, your truth. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word. Underline that, circle that, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. Now pay attention to this. You need to underline this because this is extremely important for everyone in this room and watching today. Jesus said in verse 20, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Say, that's me. I pray that they will be, all will be one. Underline one. Just as you and I are one, underline one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that, here's the key, the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one, underline that, as we are one again. And I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect, here it is, unity. Everybody say unity. That the world will know that you sent me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. Are you hearing this morning? And that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Wow. This is the final prayer of Jesus before he was arrested. And the final thing he was praying for, it's pretty important. It's unity. He's praying this in front of his disciples. He had washed their feet. He had taught them. He had eaten the Last Supper together with them. And now he's praying this prayer out loud in front of them. It's the last thing he's praying to them and saying to them. It says after this that he went over to the Kidron Valley, and then that's when Judas came and he was arrested and he was betrayed. So what is he asking for? He's asking for unity of his followers, not just the followers that were in the room that day, unity of all the followers who would ever believe in the message because of what he did. That's you and that's me. That's the body of Christ. That's everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He's praying for unity for the entire body. So why is he asking for unity? Well, it tells us in verse 21 and 23, the reason he's asking for unity is so that the world will believe that God sent him. He's asking for unity in the body so that the world out there will believe this thing is real. Hello? He wants the world to see that there's power to this thing, that there's this power that's unbelievable, unimaginable. The greatest power ever known in the universe. He wants the world to see this power and this authority and this glory. But the only way the world will see this is if the church comes together in unity. If the church is divided, if the church is fighting among themselves, then the world will not see any power. The world's not looking for division. They've got enough division amongst themselves. The world is looking for a unity that surpasses all of that. They're looking for a unity, that a group of people that have come together, united under this power and this glory in such a way that nothing will shake them. Amen. Nothing will separate them. That's what they're looking for. So I want to deal with two questions today, very quickly. The first question is this, is what is unity? What is unity? Well, if you look at the definition in the dictionary, there's three main definitions of unity, 1A, 2A, and 3A, and they are this. The first one is the quality or state of not being multiple, oneness. The second one is a condition of harmony or accord. And the third one is the quality or state of being made one, unification. So oneness, accord, unification are words you could use. The Bible dictionary definition is the state of being undivided, oneness. The state of being undivided. Somebody, you need to write that down. Because if there is any division, it's not unity. This is what unity is. Unity is powerful. Unity is powerful for good or for evil, right? Unity is powerful for good or for evil. Unity is not a holy word that just only applies to the church or only applies to the body of Christ or only applies to Christians. Unity can apply to the world as well. It can apply to good things or bad things. We see this in the Bible in Genesis 11:6, where it says during that time they were building this great city in Babylon, and when they were building this great city, they decided, hey, let's build this tower to reach the heavens and get to God. They were like, let's do this. And right now, us reading that or saying that, in our minds we're going, that's silly, that's stupid. We know that you could not build a tower that could reach God. How many of you know that? You cannot build a tower that can reach God. But watch what happens. In verse 6, Genesis 11:6, the Lord says, look, he said, the people are united, and they all speak, this is important, the same language. Ooh, boy, you need to underline that and write that down. Like, you need to circle that, and they're united, they all speak the same language. And then he says this, after this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. They're united, they speak the same language, they're not doing something that glorifies God, it's not something he told them to do, they're not in his, what he's asked them to do, they're not in his will. They're doing something outside of his will, but because they're so united, the Lord said that nothing they do, from this point, nothing they do will be impossible for them. That's how united they are. That's how powerful unity can be. Even in the name of evil, unity can be powerful. It can destroy things. It can tear down things. Listen, Jesus said this. He said, an enemy divided against itself will not stand. An army divided against itself. The enemy can't, they were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan. And Jesus was, he quoted that, he said, well, that can't happen. If Satan is against Satan, then Satan will not stand. He has to be in unity. The demonic forces that attack you, they're in unity. Hello? So we have to be in unity. Amen? We have to be united under the word of the Lord and for the glory of God. If we're going to take down the enemy, we have to stand together in unity. There's no way for us to defeat the enemy if we're divided. Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. Amen. See, unity among two or more people gets its virtue entirely from something else. Unity itself is neutral. Unity itself is neutral until it's given goodness or badness by something else. So if Herod and Pilate are unified by their scorn, their common scorn of Jesus, then this is not good unity. You know what I'm talking about? You see that in Luke 23:12. But if Paul and Silas are singing together in prison for the sake of Christ, then this is good unity. You know the word of the Lord. Do you know what happened there? Paul and Silas singing together for the glory of God. And while as they're singing together, the jail cells are starting to shake. And the doors just bust open. They couldn't keep them in the jail because they were in such unity for the glory of God. You hear what I'm saying? But it's not just unity, it's what you're unified under. It's the standard that unifies you. So it's not enough to call Christians to have unity. That may be good or bad. It's not enough just to say, let's have unity. Let's just unify together. Because there are Christians all in churches all over the world today that are unifying in things that do not glorify God and align with His plan. There are churches all over the world today that are in strife and turmoil and division and are splitting and dividing because there are people in the churches that are unifying under something that God did not intend for them to unify under. They're coming together and saying, well, this is the way it should be, and this is how it should be. And they're so set on unifying together under something that the Lord didn't call them to do that they're dividing the church. Now listen. Just everybody relax for a minute, okay? Look at somebody, say, relax, relax. Say, I want to be as gentle as possible with this, but there is nothing I can get up here and preach from this word without somebody pointing at me and saying I have an alternative agenda. Okay? So there is none. I can say that before God with a pure heart. There is no alternative agenda. I'm just preaching His word, so everybody just relax. We're going to go through things. And so it just so happens that I've gone through something, I'm going through something, and so you all know about it, and it's just all out there, and everybody knows, and that's fine. But I just have to preach the word, okay? Is that okay? Can I just preach the word? Is that all right? It's not about another people, or it's not about what we've gone through. It's not... I know I get this every week. I get somebody, oh, did you hear what he preached this week? Oh, my goodness, he's pointing a finger. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm just trying to get the church free. I'm just trying to get free, and I'm trying to make sure the church is. I just want us to be unified under one purpose, one standard. It's the word of God. That's all I'm looking for, is for us to come together under this word, under the banner of Christ, to actually live out what he's teaching us in this word. That's all it's about, okay? All right. So now that we got that out of the way, I can feel the tension in here. Thank you. I love you too, but I can feel the tension in here, and it's not about that. Listen, this is something that we should have been doing all along. We got to be in unity. And if unity means, well, you're perfect and everything you do is just right and you don't make any mistakes and you don't sin and that's the only thing that brings us to unity, then we're doomed. Hello? Because will the perfect person in this room that's never made a mistake and never sinned, please stand. I knew I was going to have one joker. And I kind of knew it was going to be you. I don't know why. So we can't look to that. That can't unify us. Listen, there's another thing. Sometimes we get unified under people who are very passionate and very vocal. We should not be unified under any person but the one true living God. There's only one person. There's only one person that should unify us. His name is Jesus. And he taught us some things here. And his final prayer was that we would become one. So don't you think that if his final prayer was that we would become one, become united, don't you think that the enemy would work his hardest to destroy that? Don't you think that'd be his number one agenda? Well, let's destroy unity of the body under the word of the Lord. Listen, the enemy, he's not trying to just to keep us disunified or divided. He doesn't care if we unify under something that's not the plan of the Lord. He's okay with that. If we unify under something that's not God's plan, not God's will, he's fine with that. Because he diverts us from the will of the Lord. Listen, we have to be in the will of the Lord. And his will is right here. And there are a lot of people who come together under things that look like the word of the Lord and the will of the Lord, but you can't unify under that if that's not God's true word. You can call it, listen, you can say the name of Jesus all day long, and you can call it Jesus all day long, but if it doesn't line up with this, it's not Jesus. There's a lot of people that do that. That's why there are cults out there all over the place. And Jesus warned us about that. He warned us about these things that would start in his name that would not be him. They're called false Christs. He said, beware of these. They'll rise up, especially in the last days. In the last days, they're going to rise up all over the place. And that's going to be these churches that divide. Part of that are these churches that split and divide because I didn't like the color of the carpet, or I didn't like that we took the pews out, or I didn't like that we covered up the stained glass windows, or I didn't like that he said this from the pulpit and he just won't get off of it. Listen, don't you know that there are people that are going to hate it because we preach the truth of the word of God? Maybe because it's shedding some light, some conviction on their heart, and they don't want to deal with it, so they're going to unite under some other banner. And they're going to call it the Lord because it makes them feel better to call it the Lord when they do that. So, what should unify us? That was the question. What is unity? What should unify us? Well, there's one scripture I want to go to, and that's Ephesians chapter 4. Look at that. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Open it up. Look at it. You're going to highlight some things. You're going to say some things out loud with me today. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Okay. Here we go. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Oh, can we read that one more time? This is Paul speaking. Listen to what he says. Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Oh, you should underline that. You should highlight that. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. There it is. There it is. That's what should unify us. Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. For there is, everybody, every time I say the word one, I want you to shout it out with me. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. There is what? One. One. Come on, say it again. There is one. There's one Spirit. There's one Father. There's one word. There's one truth. Oh, I got to just say this. There's something that's being said these days that I cannot stand. I can use this word because I believe it's evil. I hate this saying. I hate it. Well, you shouldn't hate anything. No, God loves people, but he hates sin. Bible says it, right? I hate sin. How many of you hate sin? I hate sin. So there's a saying that's being said these days that, well, that's your truth, but I have my truth. I hate that. That's a lie from the pit of hell, because there's one truth. One truth. One truth. One truth. One. And if you've said that saying before, don't get upset. Don't get mad. Don't unify under that, okay? Just do this. Understand, I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings. I'm saying that to show us something here. Like, if that upsets you because you said it, don't do that. You didn't know. You probably didn't know that that's you know, really bad to say. How many of you said something before and you didn't understand the meaning of it and you just said it? Anybody do that before? I've done that many times. Kim does that all the time. Kim. I got some stories. I do.
Oh boy.
But I'm not going to tell you because I got to live with her. I got to go home with her today. I don't got to. I get to go home with her today. Yeah. She's pretty amazing. She hates it when I do this, but she is the most beautiful, loving, kind woman I have ever known. She really is. She really is. I'm going to say this. She loves the Lord with all of her heart. I can tell you, I live with her. I see her. I watch her in action. This woman is a godly woman. I'm blessed. I am blessed, yes. There's one truth. There's not your truth and my truth. There's one truth. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand that that's what unites us is the truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the living God, the one thing that unites us. Did you realize in this scripture, in verse 4, 5, and 6, the word one that I had you say with me, and you should underline it, how many times is it there? Seven times. Listen, you know the Lord, how he works, right? You know how he works. His ways are very deep and mysterious, but man, sometimes if we'll just open our eyes, and God is saying there's one perfect way. Seven is the number of perfection. There's one perfect way. And that's through God. It's through Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says this, "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands," that's his word, "in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart." Then Proverbs 7, verse 2 and 3 says, "Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions," that's his word, "as you guard your own eyes. Tie them around your on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart." And then Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this. It says, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two standing back to back can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." Come on. What's God saying all throughout his word? I could give you scripture after scripture. I could stand up here for an hour and read scriptures about this. God throughout his word talks about unity. Coming together under one standard, the standard of Christ. Standing together through thick and thin, no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what the other person does, we're standing together in unity. We're going to be bound together in unity. I got a little illustration that I want to do this morning, and I'm going to have some guys come up here and volunteer to help me. They're voluntold. I told them that they're going to do this, so they're coming up to help us out this morning. And I'm going to need one more. Ian, would you come up and help me this morning? I think I need one more. So these guys are coming out. Here they come. Don't be shy. Come on, give them a hand. They're going to come out and help us this morning. Yes, yes, yes. Gentlemen. All right, let's see here. We're going to have Ian, you're going to be right at the front over there, okay? You grab that rope right there, and you stand right over there, okay? And then, Dave, you stand right behind me.
Okay.
Grab that and spread that out behind you. Rodney, you go behind Dave, and Scott, you go behind Rodney. Yeah, stand about 6 to 8 feet apart. All right. So the scriptures that we're reading here talk about binding us together. In fact, the ones I just gave you talked about tying the word of the Lord around your neck. So I don't want you to tie it around your neck, okay? Because I'm going to yank on it here in a minute, and I don't want to, you know, yes. But I want you to do this so you're Jesus, okay? You're Jesus, and you're going that way. All right, so wrap that thing around your waist. Tie it around your waist real tight, okay? So Ian is going to represent Jesus. And we are going to, give me a little slack here, boys. Come on, hold up. I got a big waist. All right. And we're going to just tie this around our waist, fellas, like this. Don't trip. All right? Just wrap it around your waist. And so what the scriptures are really giving us a picture of, in fact, if you go back to the beginning, the scripture I read at the very beginning, listen to what it says. It says in this scripture that it will bind us together, that its truth will bind us together, that's so that the world will know that God sent Jesus, that we would be bound together, united together, bound. All throughout the scriptures, a triple-stranded cord, braided cord, is not easily broken. So this is a picture of unity. This is what it should look like for the church. We are following Jesus. And wherever Jesus goes, we are going to go. And when the Lord was showing me this, I kind of loved this illustration because there's a little bit of slack in this rope. See, because Jesus doesn't control us. Amen? He doesn't control us. If he wanted to control us, he would have made robots. I've been telling you that, right? He didn't make robots. He gave us a free will. So we don't have to stay here. And even when we're following him and we're bound together, if he's going that direction, we still have a little slack here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've gotten off course a little bit. See, this is the thing. This is a lesson within the lesson. Sometimes we might step over here where he's not wanting us to go over here because he's going that way. But if we're bound together in unity, there's enough, even though there's a little slack here, there's enough pull in this, there's a rope here, yeah, and the brothers will go, wait a minute, hold up. Sisters will go, hey, you need to come back over here. Like, you're not, look, wait, hold, oh, whoa, yeah, you're getting off track a little bit there, Bill. Because Jesus is going in this direction, and even being tied to Jesus, if we're tied to Jesus, wherever he's going, go, just step a little forward there, Ian. Okay, he's tied a little forward. All of a sudden, you know, if we're lagging behind a little bit, we're stalling a little bit. We're not reading the word like we should. We're not praying. We're not having fellowship with the Lord, you know, that type of thing. Then he's going to keep going. Jesus doesn't stop and wait. He's going to keep moving. And so, you know what? Pretty soon, if you don't move, sooner or later, you know, they're going to feel this tug. And how many of you felt the tug of the Lord sometimes on your heart when you were kind of feeling stagnant, you're feeling a little dead, you're feeling a little still. You're like, where are you, Lord? And all of a sudden, you started feeling a tug of the Lord. That's because he's moving and we weren't. But here's the beauty of this. Jesus is going in that direction and we're going along too. And then one of our brothers falls, Dave. That was a great fall. Give him a hand. That was a great fall. That was good. Man, no, stay down. Stay down. And he falls. Listen to me. Listen to me closely. Listen clearly. Watch this. He falls, and I feel that. Because I feel that. I feel something's happened because I'm bound together with the body of Christ. I'm tied together with the body of Christ. And when I feel that, I don't just take out my knife and cut the rope. Listen, look, you fell, and I can't deal with that. I can't deal with the fact that you fell. I can't deal with what you just did. I can't handle that, so cut the rope. No, that's not what you do. When you feel that happen, then this binding together pulls you towards your brother in Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness pulls you to him, and you help him get back up. We're not supposed to throw away parts of the body that have a problem or that fall. We're not supposed to kick them to the curb. We're supposed to love them, and bring them along with us gently. Unity. That's what Jesus was praying for. That we would be bound together. And as we're going along, man, the same thing happens, not just here, but if that same thing happened to Rodney, then Dave would be doing the same thing. And if Dave's struggling because of that, then along the line, if we're bound together, the body's going to help one another. And I'm going to come back and go, what's going on, brother? He's going, well, Rodney fell, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help him. And we're going to go together to help him get back up. Well, we don't cut the rope. We don't cut what binds us together. See, that's what a lot of people want to do. They want to use the scriptures to actually sever the ties. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said? What's this called? The sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And too often, the body of Christ is severing the rope that ties us together with the Word of God. And it was not meant to do that. This is only meant to be used on the enemy. And I'm just going to say it. I'm not on it, so I'm going to say it even louder. You're on social media and you're using the Word of God to cut people. You should stop that right now. That's not unity. The world's not looking at you going, oh, look how holy they are. Look how spiritual they are. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow, they told them. We're supposed to love one another, be bound together, right? Help one another out. Bring one another along. Encourage one another in the Lord. Speak the Lord. Look what the Word of the Lord says. I'm just going to show this to you, man. Thank you for staying with me. Just stay here. Galatians 5:19, 5:19 through 23, look at it. Galatians 5:19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. Listen to these. Listen to these seven. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. Oh, we just want to focus on the first few. We just want to focus on sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasures. But listen to the rest of them. Selfish ambition, outburst of anger, dissensions, division. I mean, this is the Word of the Lord, and this is what breaks up a lot of churches. This is what severs a lot of cords in the church. People get this selfish ambition and they allow dissension to come in. And instead of living by the Word of the Lord, because listen to the rest of this scripture. This is the beauty of the scripture. Listen to the rest of it. It says, let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living by this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. If you're living by the truth of the Word, if you're bound together by the truth of God's Word, then that first part shouldn't be happening, but this should. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things that will pull you together as the body of Christ. That you're bound to that, so you have to be walking together because you're bound by this. So wherever Jesus goes, we're going too. Come on, boys. We're following Jesus wherever he goes. Thank you, guys. That's the Word of the Lord. That's it. That's it. So what God's calling us to do as the church is he's calling us to be one. We cannot do this without love. Listen, people running off on their own, people severing the cord, where's the love? Where's the love? I want you to do something. I want you to stand. I've got one more quote for you, but I want you to stand. We're going to do something before we end this whole thing up. This is going to be our final response to this. I want you to do this, and we've done this before, but I want you to bind together. I want you to lock arms with somebody next to you. Like, do it across the aisles. All right, lock arms. Lock arms. Get together. Yeah, you guys come on over here. You brothers come on over here. Lock arms. Come on, get together. Yeah, there you go. Come on, you guys move it. Yeah, move it. There you go. Lock arms. Come on, get together with as many people as you can. Now I want you to look at the person to the right of you and to the left of you. Just look at them real good. Look at them real good. Look them in the eyes. Don't be shy. Now, listen to me for a second. I want you to do it again, but wait. I want you to do it again, but this time I want you to look at them like they're Jesus. Like they're Jesus. Can I just ask you, and you be honest with me, do you see the difference? Because sometimes we just look at each other like other human beings. Like, I got enough of my own stuff, okay? And I just can't handle your stuff right now because my stuff, you know. That's selfish ambition. That's selfishness. God wants us to look at each other like it's Jesus. And I want to ask you this question. Would you run away from Jesus? Would Jesus run away from you if you had difficulties or trials or troubles in your life? If you're tied to Jesus like we were up here symbolically, if you were tied to Jesus like that and you fell, would Jesus just keep going and leave you? No. So God's called us to be one. And if the world sees that we are truly one, and we don't bail on each other, we don't leave each other, we love each other through thick and thin, we're united under one standard, and that's Jesus, the Word of God, the truth, the living water. If the world sees that, they will come running. I believe that whatever Jesus prayed, God will give. Don't you believe that? So if he prayed for unity for the church, I believe it will come. And I believe in the last days it will be stronger than it's ever been in the history of the church. And I believe that's what he's calling us to. And sometimes it takes us going through trials to see the goodness and the kindness and the outpouring of God's Spirit. It takes us going through stuff for the church to come together. And I believe we're going to see the greatest days of unity in this church that we've ever seen. But it's going to take us standing together as one. It's going to take us being bound together and not giving up on one another. And when the world sees it, this building can't contain all that God will send. They'll come running because they'll know, they'll say, that's real. That's real. That's Jesus. That's the one that I hear talked about in this word.
Amen.
Amen. So let's close our eyes together and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to fulfill your word in us. Can you say that? Say, Father, fulfill your word in me. Make us one. Say it out loud. Make us one. Make us one, Father, in spirit. Make us one in spirit, Father, in your word. I pray, God, that this church from this day forward would follow you as one, one body, one voice, one people, one nation, going after God with all of our hearts. And we believe you for it, and we trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.